Good evening. I'm Rhonda McBride, your moderator for tonight's U.S. Senate and House Candidates Forum. And first of all, we want to welcome KMXT radio listeners and those of you who are tuning in from other public radio stations across the state, as well as those of you who are joining us online. The debate is hosted by the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce and KMXT Radio, and it is the only debate in our state devoted exclusively to fisheries. This is a tradition that goes back more than 30 years, and tonight's program is historic because it's the first time that the debate is being held in the virtual realm, accessible to people everywhere. So we have two forums for you tonight. The first is in which two U.S. Senate candidates will face off, the incumbent, Senator Dan Sullivan, a Republican, and his challenger, Al Gross, an independent. The second forum features statements from candidates in the U.S. House, Congressman Don Young, as well as his challenger, Elise Galvin. Now, as we get to each round of this debate, I will go over the ground rules. But first, I would like a promise from each of you to abide by our ground rules. So please, at this point, give me a thumbs up as your pledge that you will abide by the time limit. So let's see that. Very good. Remember that, everybody. So at this point, we are going to begin with opening statements. Senator Dan Sullivan, since you are the incumbent, we will let you go first, but in each subsequent round, we will rotate who leads off of it. Each candidate will have a turn at being first. So let's get started. Each of you have 1 minute to introduce yourself. Senator Dan Sullivan, please begin.
Thank you, Rhonda, and thank you, the Chamber, and everybody else at Comfish to make this happen. 6 years ago, I stood on the stage at Kodiak High School in this debate and made several commitments to all of you, and I've kept them. I'm a man of my word. From permanently fixing ridiculous EPA regs that hurt our small fishermen, getting real action and transboundary mining issues, cleaning up our oceans, creating historic trade relief for Alaska fishing communities, approving the King Cove Road, and being a leader on the Commerce Committee on fisheries issues, we've all gotten big things done together. I also committed to so many of you that despite the unprecedented challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic, we would have a fishing season this year, and we did. I'm honored to have received UFA's endorsement. Heck, even my opponent credits me with, quote, being responsive to fishermen's concerns. So thanks, Al. Opportunities and challenges remain in this sector that's so important to our economy. The Pebble Mine is...
Al Gross, it's your turn now. Okay, we're not hearing candidate Rhodes.
Right. Yeah, thank you. I want to thank the Kodiak Chamber, Dan Sullivan, for joining us, and all of you for tuning in from home. I'm Al Gross, and I'm an independent. I'm a doctor, and I'm a commercial fisherman, and I'm a lifelong Alaskan. My father was the attorney general for Governor Jay Hammond, and together in bipartisan fashion, they created some of the state's most iconic programs, including the PFD. My mother was, of course, the founding director of the United Fishermen of Alaska. When I was 14, I took out a loan to buy my first commercial boat, but halfway through the season, the engine broke down, and I ended up having to sell the boat to pay back the loan. It was a hard but valuable lesson to learn at such a young age. I don't just understand your issues, I've lived them, and I know that Alaska can't afford Dan Sullivan in the Senate for another 6 years. We've paid too high a price. Dan consistently votes in favor of Seattle-based companies and corporate donors. He claims publicly that he opposes the Pebble Mine, but he's telling his corporate donors an entirely different story. He can't be trusted to tell the truth. He can't be trusted to put Alaska ahead of the special interests, and he certainly can't be trusted in the U.S. Senate. As your senator, I will bring independent vote to Washington. I would really appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Your time is up. All right, so we move on to our next round. And in this round, we will pose questions to the candidates. And these have been crafted by Kodiak Chamber's Comfish Alaska Committee. And it's a process that began with requests for input from across Alaska from those who are involved in fisheries. So widespread input. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond and then have a 30-second rebuttal. And we will, at the end of the round of questions, allow opportunity for a further response. That is, if we can stay on time. So we begin this round with candidate Al Gross. You have 1 minute. And the question is, The North Pacific is experiencing unprecedented ecosystem changes in the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska because of climate change. Fish are smaller and moving into different locations. As a U.S. senator, what should be done to react to these changes?
Well, thank you. As my competitor, Dan Sullivan, continually claims that I'm for the Green New Deal. That's a lie. That's a falsehood. And it just shows how scared he is and concerned about losing his seat. I'm very concerned about climate change. It's a big issue here in the state. Our fish are migrating north. There's been widespread catastrophic failure of our fisheries this summer all across the state from Chignik all the way down to Southeast Alaska. This is an opportunity for jobs to bring renewable clean energy to Alaska, much in the same way that Kodiak brought 95% renewable energy and 15-cent kilowatt hour energy to your city. I'll be a strong proponent to join back on the Paris Climate Accords because it's non-binding. I do not support a carbon tax. I do not support a timetable, but I do support being at the table to bring scientists together to discuss the problem and create solutions, Alaska-specific solutions for new jobs, which our state desperately needs right now.
Okay, thank you. Senator Dan Sullivan, 1 minute to respond to the...
Ron, I'm just going to take a response here. And I also want to mention the Pebble Mine is dead. I'll keep it that way. I've worked hard to ensure that the federal decision-making process was based on science and data and not politics. And we need to maintain the sustainability of our oceans. And I've been a leader on some of the key environmental problems facing our state. Ocean acidification, for example. I've gotten over $65 million from NOAA to study that, focused on climate change. I've also been the leader in the Senate on another huge issue. That's the marine debris issue with my Save Our Seas Act and our Save Our Seas Act 2.0, the most comprehensive ocean cleanup legislation ever, on the verge of being passed in the House and Senate. So we need to make sure these challenges are address but not used to lock up our fishing opportunities, like a Green New Deal for the oceans and many of the far left groups pouring millions of dollars into my opponent's campaign are just for that agenda. He will empower that agenda that will shut down fisheries in the name of the environment. And I think that's bad for Alaska and bad for our fisheries.
Remember, you gave me your thumbs up. Your time is up. Okay, Al Gross, you have a 30-second rebuttal.
Dan, you've had 9 years to come out against the Pebble Mine, and you know it. And you waited until you were publicly shamed and caught, and Tom Collier was caught on tape talking about you hiding in the corner. You facilitated permitting when you were Commissioner of Natural Resources, and you stood on the sidelines in the corner letting the mine process go ahead. You've taken $35,000 worth of campaign contributions from the Pebble Mine executives and subsidiaries of the Pebble Mine. Why? You should give back the money, Dan, if you're so outspoken about how you're opposed
all
to the
right,
public. Give back the money.
Thank you. Dan Sullivan, 30-second rebuttal.
And Al, you know, the mine process did go ahead. I came out and I made sure it was rigorous based on science, not politics. And when the federal agencies came out and said it didn't meet the high standards on August 24th, I put out a statement way before these tapes were even made. I've been very clear that it had to go through a process, and I'm opposing the Pebble Mine after the process was over. That's exactly the way all resource development and economic development projects are done in the state. And in this case, it worked. In this
all
case,
right, we are out of time.
The right decision came out after the process, and I'm opposed to the Pebble Mine way before these tapes were even made.
All right. You know, if candidates go over, I will give candidates more time, the opponent, and give them extra time if you continue to go over, just so you're put on fair notice here. So let's move on to our next question. And this question will be answered first by Senator Dan Sullivan. And the question is, the fishing industry has been put on notice that there is a lack of funding to maintain the current stock surveys in the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska. These surveys are critical to maintain sustainable fisheries and meet management standards. In addition, many stocks of brown fish and shellfish are moving into new areas of the Northern Bering Sea. How will you work with federal agencies for continued and increased funding for stock surveys? 1 minute, Senator Solomon.
So, Ron, I, again, in my leadership on fisheries issues in the Senate, I've been advocating for consistent surveys. We need actually more surveys. I've been pressing NOAA, and I was able to get the NOAA administrator, Chris Oliver, to be the head of NIMS, an Alaskan, but to make it so we're having six regular surveys, not just five, including surveys in the Northern Bering Sea because there is more fish activity up there. But during COVID, NOAA decided they weren't going to do surveys. This was a huge mistake. We have pressed everybody from the head of NOAA to Chris Oliver that they have to come up with a plan for next year. And we have fully funded that plan. But I have put a hold on the head of the NOAA administrator, his confirmation, until I get a written policy on the new plan for next year. These surveys are critical, and I've been a strong advocate for them throughout my Senate career.
All right. Thank you very much. Al Gross, you have 1 minute to respond to the question about the lack of funding for stock surveys.
Yeah, well, stock surveys are absolutely critical in order for us to get a maximal sustainable catch from the ocean. And this year, the surveys didn't happen, not because of funding, Dan, but because of COVID-19, which continues to rage all across our state and our country. Today, we had more cases in Alaska than ever before. 2% of the American population has tested positive. We have 220,000 deaths in our country. There's a lot more to come, and this is a very slow-moving tsunami, and we need to get a grip on this pandemic first. Of course, we need to fund the surveys. That's absolutely critical. I'll be a strong supporter of that because I believe we should harvest the maximum sustainable catch.
All right. Thank you. Senator Sullivan, you have a 30-second rebuttal.
Well, again, we're very focused on getting these surveys done, the $5.1 million that Senator Murkowski and I got, in addition to what was needed, is going to go into next year's surveys. But I would agree with Al that the COVID is a very serious issue, which is why when I helped write the CARES Act, it had so many things focused on our fishing communities. Unemployment insurance was for fishermen. The PPP, a $300 million fund for fishermen. Unfortunately, my opponent called it a bailout, which it certainly wasn't for the fishermen in the communities who needed it. So I'm going to continue to focus on that.
Thank you. 30-second rebuttal, Al Gross.
Yeah, bailouts are sometimes good, Dan. When we bailed out the auto industry in 2008, everybody used that term. But looking back on it, everybody was really happy with that we did. And of that $300 million directed at fishermen, only $50 million came to Alaska for the commercial fishermen, the sport fishermen, and the processors. And if you put that in perspective, Dan, the Washington, D.C. Ballet got $25 million in the CARES Act. Alaska fishermen only got $50 million. That's not a whole lot for Alaska fishermen in the big picture.
All right, thank you. Al Gross, we are going to stay with you for our next question.
Do I get a 30-second on that? Don't I get a 30-second?
No, you had your 30-second rebuttal. So I believe that's correct. But we will continue on, and if I've made an error, we will come back and give you more time. All right, so the next question is the Magnuson-Stevens Act. It's scheduled for reauthorization in the upcoming Congress. It is the law that outlines the foundation for sustainable fisheries, science-based fishery management, and annual catch limits. Do you favor changes to the Magnuson-Stevens Act? And if so, what would your priorities be? And we begin this round with Al Gross. 1 minute.
Yeah, well, the Magnuson-Stevens Act was a wonderful act that Ted Stevens and Senator Magnuson got through a long time ago. But unfortunately, it has been woefully inadequate at addressing the bycatch issue in both the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea with respect to Alaska and overfishing in other parts of the country. This act needs to be reauthorized. And I've been to so many North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meetings where they just kick that bycatch issue down the road. They're not addressing it. It's a huge problem. It needs to be addressed with reauthorization.
All right. And, you know, you do have an extra 30 seconds. But I guess we're going to move on. We will go to Dan Sullivan, 1 minute response to the Magnuson Stevens Act question.
Well, so Rhonda, we've been looking at the reauthorization of the Magnuson Stevens Act. I've held over six different hearings on it. And certainly what I heard from the Alaska fishermen is it's important, but first do no harm. This is a really important piece of legislation. It's working generally well for our communities, but there are things that we can be looking at, more science-based data that relates to how we manage our stocks, subsistence use with regard to the MSA, and many other things that we are looking at. But here's the big issue. When we were looking at moving forward on this, the House changed. Nancy Pelosi took over. My opponent actually celebrated Pelosi's taking over of the House. And right now, it's too risky. The House has so many radical ideas for our fisheries about shutting them down that opening the MSA right now with regard to what the House would put forward, I think carries a lot of risks. And I think that's one reason that we're still focused on it, but we're going to take a look that makes sure that we protect our interests in Alaska.
Okay, we go to Al Gross for a 30-second rebuttal.
Yeah. Thanks. You know, Dan, you've been calling me a liberal this whole campaign, and I'm sick of that. You're making up lies and falsehoods about that. I'm a lot more fiscally conservative than you'll ever be with your tax cuts to your billionaire brother and your father and other super rich people across the country. You nearly doubled the national deficit before COVID-19. I believe government should stay out of people's personal lives in every way possible. I believe in a strong and enforceable immigration policy, and I'm not about to take away anybody's guns or ban anybody's weapons. So if you think that's liberal, I disagree. I think that's Alaskan, Dan.
Dan Sullivan, 30-second rebuttal.
Al, right now, with regard to the groups that are backing your reelection, some of the most radical far-left groups that with regard to fisheries would have an agenda to shut down our fisheries and lock them up the way that you are looking at with regard to the Green New Deal that you're focused on. So these are issues that the people who are backing you right now have an agenda that is so far left and anti-Alaska. It's something that you're trying to hide from, but I think that it's something that Alaskans are waking up to.
Okay, we begin our final question in this round. Both of you have expressed opposition to Pebble Mine. As Senator, what tools would you use to ensure that this large-scale mine will not be developed? Please tell us clearly what you will do to stop this large-scale mine. Senator Sullivan, you have 1 minute.
Well, Rhonda, as I mentioned, the Pebble Mine is dead, and I'm going to keep it that way. We went through a process where I made sure that Alaskans' voices were heard and that we would not trade one resource for another, and that this decision was going to be based on science and data, not politics. That is what happened. The federal agencies, the Trump administration, came out and said that it can't move forward. There won't be a permit. I agreed with that and have opposed the Pebble Mine. Unfortunately, my opponent is the one trying to make politics out of it after these tapes came out. My statement against the Pebble Mine was way before these tapes. It was after the process that occurred for all economic development projects in our state. And I'm going to make sure that the Corps does its job. And if it doesn't, then the EPA should do its job. This project is dead and it's not going to move forward.
All right. Al Gross, you have 1 minute.
Yeah, well, you know, think back there, Dan. Ted Stevens was a very strong supporter of the process as well, but it didn't take him long to say, wrong mine, wrong place. And you've been waging war against subsistence ever since you launched yourself on the scene here in Alaska as Sarah Palin's attorney general. And you tried to overturning the Katie John case. And you've continued to do that with your passive support of the Pebble Mine, which threatens subsistence rights out in Bristol Bay. There's a Coast Guard permit that can be blocked by Commerce. And when I get to the Senate and I get on the Commerce Committee and I hold the gavel, then I am going to stop that permit from happening because, of course, President Trump came out against the Pebble Mine purely for political reasons and just kicked this down past the election. But I guarantee you he has every intention of revisiting it if he wins the election.
All right, Dan Sullivan, you have a 30-second rebuttal.
Well, look, that's just not true. I mean, I was part of the, I made sure that this process, as I mentioned, was based on data and science, which is what we want all projects in Alaska to go through. And all economic development projects have to do that. When the agencies came out and said that this would threaten the very important aquatic resource, that's when the process ended. And that's when I said, I'm absolutely opposed. To wait to go through the process as we do on all projects, I think in this case or in other cases, was the right way to do it. And I'm opposed to the mine, and it's not going to happen.
Okay. We have included in this debate some time for additional follow-up after some of the rounds. So we are going to give each candidate 1 minute to follow up on anything that we've talked about so far. And we begin this round of follow-up with Dan Sullivan. You have 1 minute if you'd like to add to anything that you've said so far.
Well, look, Rana, in terms of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, I think that it's actually a very important that we continue to look at ways in which we are going to possibly reform it. But here's another issue that I think is a really important one for people watching to know. As I mentioned, if you have a situation where the Democrats, where Chuck Schumer is put back in charge, you look at their national agenda. It is an agenda that is anti-Alaska. It's anti-resource development. It's anti-Second Amendment. No matter how much Al Gross talks about strong Second Amendment, Schumer and his team will shred our Second Amendment rights. And it's also going to empower the new head of the Commerce Committee, Maria Cantwell, to be chairman. She is somebody who has been going after, for example, the 6-5 majority that we have on the council. She will put the Seattle-based interests in the lead. And that's part of one of the major reasons that if we have Democrats in charge, Schumer in charge, Cantwell running the Commerce Committee, our fishing interests are going to be significantly jeopardized.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Dan Sullivan. Al Gross, anything you'd like to follow up on? 1 minute.
Yeah, well, Dan brought up campaign contributions, and let's go there. I've had overwhelming support from individuals all across the state and all across this country. People are excited about sending a doctor with a master's in public health to the United States Senate, especially in the midst of COVID-19. Unlike you, Dan, I don't accept corporate PAC money. I am not beholden to corporations. And if this was a NASCAR race and you and I were both drivers in it, you would have corporate sponsor patches all over your jacket, starting with your family's billionaire RPM company, the plastics industry, the chemical industry, big pharma, Trident Seafoods, big oil on your hat. And I saved a spot right here in the middle for Pebble Mine right there, because of course you've been sponsored by them. Give back the money, Dan. I'm not beholden to any corporations. The only patch I'd have on my jacket is the people of Alaska. And by the way, Dan, I'm not beholden to the Democratic Party. I'm an independent, and I will remain that way when I'm in the United States Senate. And if you think I have any intention of turning Alaska into a park, you're wrong.
All right, thank you. Your time is up. All right, so we are done with this round. But before we move on to our next round, I'd like to thank a few of our sponsors. That is the City of Kodiak and the Kodiak Island Borough, the Alaska Whitefish Trawlers Association, the At-Sea Processors Association, Bristol Bay Native Corporation, and the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Now, in this round, each candidate has a chance to pose a question to the other. So each of you will have 30 seconds to frame your question for your opponent, and then your opponent gets a one-minute response, and then you have a one-minute rebuttal, and then your opponent has a one-minute rebuttal. So that's how we go. And so we will begin this round with Al Gross. You have 30 seconds to frame a question.
Yeah, in August 23rd, 24th, and 25th, there was some live fire exercises from the Russian Navy in our exclusive economic zone in the Bering Sea. You gave up the chairmanship of the Fisheries Committee so that you could have the gavel for the Security Subcommittee. The Coast Guard or in the DOD was aware that these live fire exercises were going on and yet failed to notify the fishermen fishing out in the Gulf. It was a terrifying experience for them. It was a costly experience for them. One of them had to steam away for 5 days, and it cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
All right, you're out of time, sir. All right, so we will go to Dan Sullivan next.
One of the big reasons I ran is because the previous administration cut defense spending by 25%, did not take our interests in the Arctic seriously at all. And as a U.S. Marine, a colonel in the Marines, still serving, I made sure that one of my top priorities was to rebuild our military and to come back with a strong Arctic policy. We are doing just that. We're building icebreakers. We've had $1.6 billion in military construction in our state, and we're rebuilding our military. The people that you would empower, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer, they want to gut our military. I just debated Bernie Sanders on the floor of the Senate. By the way, you donated to Bernie Sanders on his cut the military amendment. I beat him 70-25. But you're going to empower people who want to cut our defense spending. I have built it up. I've been serving in the military my whole career. And right now, the best way to deal with the Russians in the Arctic is to have strength. We will have weakness if you empower Schumer and get elected. I've been focused on rebuilding our military, particularly in the Arctic, and I'm going to continue to do that.
Al Gross, 1 minute to rebut.
Yeah, well, how about a little communication with the fishermen that are fishing out in the exclusive economic zone? That would really help fishermen out a lot as the Russians increase their presence in the Arctic and protect the Northern Sea Route. I think that's really critical, Dan. And, you know, getting back to this Schumer bit, you know, I'm doing this for Alaska. It has nothing to do with national politics. I'm trying to bring jobs back to the state. I have some really good ideas. And, yeah, I think I donated $200 to Bernie Sanders because I thought Hillary was a failed candidate. So, yeah, I did donate a little bit of money to Bernie, but I'm not a huge fan. Don't support Medicare for All.
All right, and so we have a final rebuttal in this round. Dan Sullivan, 1 minute.
Well, we're looking at the after action on what happened and the communications between the Coast Guard and the Navy. But here's the key point, is that in order to protect our interest in the Arctic, we need a stronger military. I ran for that reason, and we have had major success. I just had the Secretary of the Navy up in Alaska. I brought him out to Ketchikan. He went to Kodiak. He went to Adak. What was he doing? He was looking at putting the icebreakers that I got authorized, 6 polar class icebreakers 2 years ago in the defense bill, to put them in Alaska. We're looking at home porting icebreakers. We're looking at building up our military. But here's the thing. If you're elected and Schumer becomes Senate Majority Leader, Schumer, by the way, was a co-sponsor of the Bernie Sanders Defund the Military Amendment. That's what they called it. All this progress we're making on the Arctic, which is our future, will be at stake. You're going to empower people who are weak in our military, weak in our veterans, and I think that's very dangerous for our state.
Senator Sullivan, you begin the next round of questioning. It's your turn to pose a question. You have 30 seconds to frame your question.
So, Al, the League of Conservation Voters have a clear anti-Alaska agenda. It's anti-ANWR. They support the Green New Deal. They want to cut back or keep North Slope Arctic OCS unavailable. They were against the King Cove Road. They were for huge Western Pacific Regional Management Fisheries Council monuments. Yet you said you were thrilled to receive their endorsement. What part of their transparently radical anti-Alaska agenda thrills you?
I'm happy to accept anyone's support in this race other than corporations, unlike you, Dan, and I'm not beholden to any corporations and won't be when I get to the U.S. Senate. I think everybody watching here knows that I've said many times I support development in the 1002 in Anwar, and I know how important oil and gas has been to the state, and that we wouldn't have the permanent fund or the dividend. There's so many other projects here in the state. And yeah, I'm going to keep us from drilling offshore oil rigs in Bristol Bay, and I don't support drilling offshore in the Arctic because it's too fragile. But I will support many, many other development projects here in the state because I know how important resource development is here in Alaska, and will continue to support that. So people are welcome to donate to my campaign on an individual basis. You, on the other hand, I'm sure would be willing to drill in Bristol Bay, just like you were willing to let the Pebble Mine go by. Dan, you're hiding in the corner on this Pebble Mine. I think you need to come out of the closet on this.
Dan Sullivan, 1 minute.
So look, Al, you know, you can keep saying what you want on Pebble. I came out, I'm opposed to it on August 24th after the process ran. That's the facts. But here's the broader topic. And it's the people who are not only backing you, but who you would empower. If you look at what is happening with the National Democratic Party, particularly Chuck Schumer, Bernie Sanders, people that you would empower, they have a clear anti-Alaska agenda. They're against Anwar. They're against drilling in NPRA. They are for monuments that would harm our fisheries. They are against the Second Amendment. They want to gut our military. And this is their agenda. This is their agenda. And you would empower that agenda. And that's why you are receiving millions and millions of dollars from people who don't care about Alaska at all. They care about Chuck Schumer having power. And that is dangerous for our state. And I certainly oppose it.
Al Gross, 1 minute.
Yeah, the only empowerment I have is from the people of Alaska, and that's who I'm beholden to. And as you know, I've been an independent nonpartisan for the vast majority of my voting life. I'm not beholden to the Democratic Party. I am caucusing with them because you and your party have failed absolutely miserably when it comes to health care. You had the presidency, the House, and the Senate, and all you wanted to do is take away pre-existing conditions and strip health care away from 50,000 Alaskans. That's not right, and that's why I'm caucusing with the Democrats, and I will get something done in the United States Senate to lower the high costs of health care when I get there. But I will stand up strong for Alaska. I will not vote the liberal left agenda because, as I said, I'm not very liberal, Dan. And I just told you why a little while ago.
All right. So we are going to take a little breather here, give candidates a chance to respond to anything that's been said in the last round before we move on. So we'll give each candidate 1 minute to follow up on anything. And we'll begin with Dan Sullivan. You have 1 minute. Is there anything you want to talk about that you didn't get a chance to?
Well, look, Al, the one thing that you're having a bit of a problem with, you just said one of the issues is you're not being straight with the Alaskan people, right? We're learning a lot about your positions through these Zooms when you're talking to your lower 48 liberal donor base. So your values are to the left, as you said. You're going to caucus with the Democrats. You didn't tell anybody that in Alaska. You just told that to your really wealthy lower 48 fundraisers. What I'm trying to do is stay focused on these fisheries issues right now that matter to the people that are watching this debate. And here's the key issue with regard to our fisheries, whether it's the CARES Act, having a season that we got through this year, creating more market opportunities, creating huge historic relief efforts for our fishermen. This is what people want to hear about. This is what I'm going to continue to focus on. This is what I committed to do as a senator, and I'm going to continue to do that when I get reelected.
Great. Al Gross, you have 1 minute.
Yeah, well, if you'd listened to that full clip, Dan, you would have heard that some of my values are to the left and some of my values are to the right. And you're right. The values to the left are on our climate, which you have been a climate change denier and supporting a president who denies climate change science. And of course, healthcare. I'm trying to fix our healthcare problem in our state and our country. I already told you the values of mine that are to the right on guns and immigration and government staying out of people's personal lives and being fiscally conservative, unlike you. I don't plan on doubling the national deficit when I get to the United States Senate. I plan on getting people back to work.
All right. Well, we thank you both. We finished this round, but next we have a round of questions that and I asked for brief responses on this. I'm not going to give you a time limit, but these questions are designed to help us get to know you better. But again, please give quick answers so that we can cover a lot of territory. So here is the first question, and we'll begin this round with Al Gross. What is the most important committee assignment for a U.S. senator that will affect our fishing industry?
Well, I'd like to be on the Commerce Committee for sure. And when I get to the Commerce Committee and become chairman of the Fisheries Subcommittee, I'm going to hold on to the gavel, unlike Dan Sullivan, who gave it to Senator Wicker, who's the largest advocate for offshore fish farming, which I will strongly oppose.
Dan Sullivan?
Well, look, I made a commitment to be on the Commerce Committee. I chaired the subcommittee in charge of oceans, fisheries, the Coast Guard. When it was split, I focused on the Coast Guard, and I've used that to the state's benefit. We've had a massive buildup of our Coast Guard despite the previous administration's cutbacks. That's good for our coastal communities, and I'm going to continue on my leadership with regard to the Commerce Committee, just as I committed to in this debate 6 years ago, and we've had a lot of success and progress after my committee subcommittee chairmanships, and we're going to continue those.
All right, thank you. So we'll start with you, Dan, again, Dan Sullivan. If you were all powerful, and if there were one law or regulation that you could repeal or change that affects the fishing industry, what would that be?
Well, look, Rhonda, 6 years ago, I made a commitment again during the Comfish debate that there was an EPA regulation that really, really hurt small fishing vessels, small fishing owners. It required people to get an EPA permit simply to hose off their deck. This had been out there for almost 20 years. My opponent at the time had not taken action, and I said, I will fix this permanently. I said that at the debate, and I did that. Maria Cantwell opposed it, but these are the kind of things that help the small fishermen through the overregulation of our fisheries that I'm going to continue to focus on and have had significant success on.
All right, let's give Al Gross a chance to answer this. What's one law or regulation you would repeal or change?
Yeah, well, I would step up and address the Marine Mammal Protection Act, unlike you, Dan, when you received a resolution from Senator Bert Stedman and the Alaska State Senate asking you to address it. You basically put it in a folder and shelved it and played lip service to it. I personally know the problems associated with the Marine Mammal Protection Act. I've seen sea lions rip king salmon off my gear. I've had sea lions cruise up and down my gillnet ripping huge holes in it. And I have friends who've told me about the sea otters decimating our crab industry and whales and orcas picking black cod off longline gear. I won't.
All right, Al Gross, we're going to stay. Al Gross, we'll stay with you for the next question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is the priority that seafood industry issues will have in your office versus all the other issues that you have to address, with 1 being the highest priority and 10 being the lowest? Where do fisheries fit in that spectrum?
Well, number one is getting Alaskans back to work and getting the COVID epidemic under control. Right now, it's a raging pandemic and will continue to be under the failed leadership of Dan Sullivan and Donald Trump, who hid the very fact that COVID was coming and was going to devastate our economy for well over 2 months. When I get to the Senate, I'm going to address the huge bycatch issue, which is a huge problem here in Alaska. And okay. That's something that...
I don't mean to interrupt, but the question is, where does fisheries fit in a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the highest? You would have a lot to juggle. Where will it fit?
Well, there's a lot going on. I guess fisheries would tie for number 2 with a large number of other things.
All right, Dan Sullivan, where does it fit in your priorities?
Well, look, I made fisheries and the Commerce Committee my number one pick, and it's going to continue to be that way. I'm recognized as the office with the best staff on fisheries issues, and we've made historic progress on opening markets, on trade relief, on cleaning up our oceans, on getting rid of onerous regulations with regard to our fishermen, and a real huge focus in the CARES Act with regard to our fishing community and fishermen. So I'm going to continue to focus on that. Al's right about jobs. The problem is that if he's elected, he will empower a group of senators who have a clear anti-Alaska agenda,
Sorry, Dan, I'm going to do the same thing I did with Al Gross, is ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, where does fisheries fit in the priority, with 1 being the highest?
It's been number one for me for 6 years, which is why I got the UFA endorsement, and it's why I've achieved a very strong record of accomplishments across the board, including cleaning up our oceans, opening markets, historic trade relief like we just saw from the USDA, a $500 million trade relief program.
All right, thank you, Dan.
Is focused primarily on Alaska.
I just needed a quick answer, but since you went on, I'm going to let Al Gross respond briefly.
Yeah, you got the UFA endorsement because it isn't the organization that it once used to be. It's driven by outside special interests. That's why you got the UFA endorsement, Dan.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Let's go on to our next question. And this is kind of designed to see how much each of you knows about the fishing industry. So what is your best guess as to the amount of taxes and fees that the Alaska seafood industry pays annually in total? A, $110 million, B, $170 million, C, $200 million. What's your guess?
Who's the question to?
This is a question to Al Gross. I'm sorry.
Oh, I would go for $170 million.
All right, Dan Sullivan, what would you go for?
I would go $200.
All right, well, the correct answer is a total of $172 million in taxes and fees. Now, here's another one to test your knowledge. Approximately how many direct jobs are provided by the Alaska seafood industry? A, 40,000. B, 59,000. C, 100,000. Dan Sullivan, what's your best guess?
I would say 59.
All right. Al Gross, what's your estimate?
Well, it's not 59. It's 59,000, Dan.
That's what I meant, Al. Thanks.
That's what he meant. All right. Well, both of you were very close. It's 58,700. Now, I have one more question for you, and we'll begin this round with Dan Sullivan. How many commercial fishing vessels are home ported in Alaska? A, 9,000. B, 15,000. C, 20,000. What's the correct answer?
I would say 15,000.
All right. Al Gross, what's your guess?
And I would say 20,000.
All right. Well, both of you are wrong. The correct answer is more than 9,000.
All right, Al. Hey, at least we can agree on that. We're both wrong.
All righty. Well, this completes our getting to know you round. And before we move on, I'd like to take time out to thank a few more of our sponsors, because there were 13 in all. And three additional sponsors are Freezer Longline Coalition, Fishing Vessel Owners Association, and the Ground Fish Forum. So in this portion of our debate, we're again going to return to questions that have been crafted by the Comfish Alaska Committee, with input from Alaskans all across our state that are involved in the fishery. And we'll follow the same format as before. You'll have a 1-minute response with a 30-second follow-up opportunity. And we begin this round with candidate Al Gross. And this question has to do with timber. The Tongass National Forest roadless rule protects key salmon habitat. Rollback of the roadless rule allows an increase of mining and timber harvest with risks to fish habitat at a time when climate change is already stressing our salmon population. Do you support or oppose the roadless rule? The roadless rule roadback. I should have practiced that. Exempting the Tongass. Why or why not? 1 minute.
Yeah, I strongly support an Alaska-specific version of the roadless rule, and I would like to see the timber industry return to Alaska in a sustainable fashion. I don't support widespread clear-cutting of old-growth timber. What I do support is value-added product coming from Southeast Alaska. I grew up in the Tongass, and there's opportunities for jobs in Prince of Wales, Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg. Those people want jobs, and I think we can do it in a way that's environmentally sensitive, of course, staying away from the watersheds. And I'd like to see the timber industry return to Alaska, but I don't want to see and the way they were when I was a kid.
Okay, you were cutting out, so could you wrap up your last sentence, Al?
Yeah, I said I don't want to see whole logs in log rafts being sent off to Japan like when I was a kid.
Okay, Dan Sullivan, 1 minute for a response.
Well, this is another area that we've gotten historic progress made for our state, and we're going to get the full exemption. It's been supported by Democrat and Republican senators and governors for years, for decades, to create a more diverse economy. But again, here's the difference in this debate. Al Gross and the people who are supporting him, the millions of dollars supporting him, have a very different agenda. If he empowers Schumer and this radical agenda, particularly anti-environmental agenda, in Washington, they'll shut this down. So this is what I'm talking about, an anti-Alaska agenda. Yes, we can do this responsibly with regard to the roadless rule, culverts and things that will protect our fisheries and salmon spawning grounds. But this is the kind of progress we've made. And yet it's all in jeopardy if the radical left that has an anti-Alaska agenda that my opponent will empower, this accomplishment will be reversed. And that's one of the reasons I'm very concerned about the direction with regard to this race.
You're out of time. You have 30 seconds for a rebuttal.
Yeah, well, as I said before, the only thing I'm empowering when I go to the United States Senate is the people of Alaska. That's the only thing that I'm beholden to. I don't have any corporate sponsorship. I don't owe the Pebble Mine or RPM or any other company any favors by going. And as I said, I will stand up for Alaska. I have no intention of turning Alaska into a park. I have so much in common with the people watching and listening to this program that I think you know that I'll stand up for you every chance that I can. And you can't trust Dan Sullivan in that regard. Look at Alaska. It's no better off, or it's far worse off than when he took the reins 6 years ago.
Okay, Al, you're out of time. Dan Sullivan, 30-second rebuttal.
So, Al, you know, first on corporate PACs, you're getting money from Democratic senators who get corporate PACs, so they're just hiding it. It's dark money, and so you're being, very dishonest there. But look, what do you mean we didn't get anything done? We just got that done, the roadless rule. We got ANWR done. We have made huge progress with regard to our fisheries. We're rebuilding our military. We're doing massive rebuilding of our Coast Guard in the communities in Southeast and in Kodiak. Over $400 million of investment for Coast Guard development, more ships. When I came into office, the Coast Guard was going to cut vessels in Alaska. Now we have more. This is all the progress we've made, and it's all at stake right now with regard to this election.
Sir. All right, let's go to our next question. And we begin this round with Dan Sullivan. So we stay with you. And this question has to do with Arctic policy. What are your plans for Arctic policy as it relates to fish stocks moving north, funding for surveys, and aggressive actions by the Russians, including threats to our fishing fleet? What other issues need to be considered, such as increased commercial traffic, oil spill response capabilities, and territorial disputes? 1 minute.
Well, Rhonda, thanks for the question, and I'll just build on how we talked about it already. The Arctic is the future for Alaska. And again, one of the reasons I ran was that the previous administration had cut defense spending by 25% and they had no interest in a serious Arctic strategy. We have changed that. We have rebuilt our military. As I mentioned, we're building icebreakers now. And so this is what's at stake. We need to home port those in our state. We need to continue to have strength. That's the best way to deal with the Russians. And as it relates to Arctic fisheries, there's challenges, of course, but there's opportunities. We need to make sure we're looking at these issues in a scientific manner with local input with regard to what the opportunities are. But I've been pressing NOAA to do a regular Northern Bering Sea surveys because there's opportunities for commercial fishing, maybe even CDQ groups further north. Right now, there's no fishing in the Arctic Ocean, but there are opportunities that we need to look at. But to me, the Arctic is the future, and it's a bright future.
Okay,
but
this
is a big difference between the two different parties and two candidates.
So we go to Al Gross, 1 minute.
Yeah, well, there's no question the Arctic is the next frontier for Alaska and for America as the Arctic thaws out. And the only way we're going to be a leader in Arctic policy is if we're at the table. And as China declares itself a near Arctic nation and Russian activity becomes more and more, we need to ratify the Law of the Sea Act if we're going to legally stake claims out beyond the continental shelf, claims beyond the exclusive economic zone. Right now, China, Russia, Canada, Norway, Iceland, Finland, they've all ratified the Law of the Sea Act. They're on the boat and driving the boat. We're in the water bobbing up and down in the wake, Dan. And if we don't ratify that, we're not going to be leaders. Senator Murkowski is in favor of ratifying the Law of the Sea. Tax considerations that were addressed back in the Reagan days have long since been addressed. It's time to ratify the Law of the Sea, get out of drowning in the water, and get on the boat.
30 seconds.
Yeah, the Law of the Sea still has a provision that gives the UN taxing authority, and I think that that's inappropriate. We should do an amendment to it, but we need to address that. That's still in there. But again, it goes back to the issue. I just debated the people you're going to empower. Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer had an amendment to the NDAA to cut defense spending across the board by 15%. That's what we're looking at. Well, that will devastate our military in Alaska, our Coast Guard in Alaska. And I'm not for that. I'm for continuing the progress we've made. That's how you make the Arctic the future of Alaska.
Al Gross?
Yeah, well, Dan, you've presided over a disastrous trade war with not only China, but Russia as well. We're importing Russian seafood, in large part that was stolen in the Bering Sea by Russian crabbers. It's diluting our markets, lowering prices, and Russia refuses to import any of our seafood. It's a one-way deal, and it's a losing deal for Alaska fishermen. You're not standing up tough to China. You're not standing up tough to Russia. You're hiding in the corner again on this issue, and we can't trust you to get us out of this disastrous trade war, which is hurting Alaska fishermen. It hasn't been working out. And getting back a little bit farther, you know, Dan, Alaska had the highest unemployment rate in the entire country leading up to COVID-19.
All right, Al, you can talk about that later. We're going to move on to the next round of questions, and we do stay with you for this question. This is about seafood marketing. More than 80% of the seafood consumed in the United States is imported. Other food producers, from livestock to fruits and dairies, have some sort of marketing board to promote their homegrown products. A federal advisory council is recommending that a national seafood council be resurrected. As Alaska senator, would you consider funding a seafood marketing council to promote U.S. seafood? 1 minute.
Yeah, well, absolutely, I would. And the agricultural industry, the dairy industry, the meat industry have long been promoted by our government. Drink milk, eat meat. How about eat seafood? But you know, none of that's really going to matter if our markets are being flooded by outside sources and Russian sources. So we need to first stop this disastrous trade war that's really hurting Alaskans. It's costing our national debt $500 million that was just awarded to fishermen across the country as a price adjustment for this trade war with China. The trade war is still going on. We've got $500 million worth of debt going on or taxes back to you. I'm happy that fishermen did get compensated. Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy of that. But you're presiding over a disastrous trade war, Dan, and you're not fixing it. We can't trust you to do that.
1 minute, Dan Sullivan.
So, Ron, I've been very supportive of the ASME marketing efforts. And look, we have a great product, and we also are a huge exporter. And Senator Murkowski and I recently got from the USDA about $8 million for ASME to help with regard to our seafood marketing opportunities. Just last month, I tried to move my American Fisheries Advisory Act legislation, which would give our fishing community the opportunity to advise on grants with regard to NOAA. And you know who blocked it on the Senate floor? Chuck Schumer, the guy that my opponent, Al Gross, has already pledged allegiance to. Chuck Schumer blocked that. So he's hurting the industry for us. But we are making market opening opportunities with regard to new trade. We got the Trade Promotion Authority law changed to make sure seafood would always be in our trade agreements. And I just got an amendment to the school lunch program, which closed a huge loophole that allowed non-Alaskan fish in the school lunch programs like Russian pollock. We shut that loophole, and that's created a huge market for Alaskan seafood in hundreds of millions of dollars with regard to our school lunch programs. That's a good market.
Okay, Dan, I feel like things are getting a little bit unfair here, that you're going over consistently. So I'm going to give Al Gross more time for his rebuttal, 1 minute for his rebuttal on this question.
Yeah, well, thank you. And, you know, Dan, you said you're such a champion of the Coast Guard. You know, six icebreakers have been authorized. Only one has been appropriated, and it's a heavy class icebreaker destined for Antarctica. There's a big difference between getting it authorized and appropriated. I'll get it appropriated because we need a stronger Coast Guard presence in the Bering Sea, because the Russians are stealing our crab and our pollock and flooding our markets here in America. And our exports to China have fallen off a cliff as a result of the trade war. All the while, China's importing exponentially more seafood, but not from us. So this is a lose-lose situation. And I like trade, but only if it's a good trade. And right now, we're getting a really, really bad trade, thanks to you.
Okay, you have 30 seconds, Dan Solomon.
So, you know, Al, when I got into the Senate, the Coast Guard's plan was to cut cutters. I put a hold on the Commandant of the Coast Guard. So they wanted to go to six cutters throughout Southeast. We're now going to be at eight. So we are rebuilding the Coast Guard throughout the entire state. That'll be at risk, again, if the people that you would empower are going to cut our military, which is what they will do. We are going to continue to work at opening markets. We are doing that. The China China issue with regard to the trade, phase one of the trade agreement, it's focused on seafood. There's big opportunities there as they implement.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Now, we include this little breather here to give each of you an opportunity to say something that you wanted to say about the last round and didn't get a chance to. So we will begin with you, Dan Solomon. Anything you'd like to discuss in the last round? 1 minute.
You know, you had mentioned Seattle interests. One of the things that I've been very focused on as Alaska senator is focusing on our small, our coastal communities, not the big Seattle fishing interests that would be empowered if Maria Cantwell becomes chairman of the Commerce Committee. How have we been doing that? The CARES Act, that was very, very focused with regard to our fishing community. The PPP program, which you called derided as a bailout, unemployment insurance, all of these things, and the $300 million Fisherman Relief Fund. We had an additional COVID package about a month ago, targeted package that had an additional $500 million for our fishermen. Unfortunately, Chuck Schumer, who you pledged your allegiance to, filibustered that. We've also had historic trade relief for our fishermen in the new $500 million USDA program. 16 of the 19 products in that program are for Alaskan fishermen.
All righty, and Al Gross, 1 minute for you to respond to anything that you haven't had a chance to talk about.
Yeah, well, and that's $500 million more to our national debt because you're unable to fix the trade war against China. That's why that money is in place. And of the $300 million of the CARES Act for fishermen, only $50 million came to Alaska fishermen. That's 15% of the money when we produce 60% of the seafood. And as I said again, Dan Sullivan keeps trying to tie me to AOC and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. You can tie me to Alaska, Dan, because that's who I'm always going to stand up for. And I don't think you need to give me a lesson about the coastal communities in Alaska. I was born and raised here and grew up all on the coastal communities, and I sure as heck would have stood up and yelled when their ferry system came under attack and continues to have been under attack. I think there's funding available through the FAST Act, and if there isn't, then I'm going to work really hard to introduce legislation to help promote saving the ferries. Kodiak had no ferry last winter. Cordova had no ferry last winter. I know how critical the transportation system is all on the coastline, and you've done nothing to stand up for the state on that.
All right, Dan Sullivan, you have 1 minute to follow up on anything you'd like to follow up on.
So look, you're actually right on the FAST Act. In 2015, we passed the five-year highway bill. It was a huge piece of legislation for infrastructure in Alaska, and it had very significant funding for the ferry system. And that was the first five-year highway bill that had been passed in over almost 20 years. We just passed another bill related to out of the committee in the Environment and Public Works Committee with regard to surface transportation that also focuses on the ferry system. So we're working on the ferry system with regard to transportation down in Southeast. But Al, let me go back to the Coast Guard. Like I said, when I got into the Senate, the plan was, and again, this is from the previous administration, seven cutters go into six. I stood up for Alaska. I put a hold on the confirmation of the Commandant of the Coast Guard until he committed to eight, spread out through all different communities. We now have over $400 million in Coast Guard investment in Southeast and in Kodiak. That's great for our communities. I'm going to continue to work on that.
All right. Thank you. 1 minute, Al Gross.
Yeah, so congratulations on the Coast Guard, Dan, but there's certainly no Coast Guard presence up in the Bering Sea during the live fire exercises in late August. Total dropped the ball. There is very little Coast Guard presence up there. You know, you've gotten one icebreaker appropriated. It's heading south to Antarctica, based out of Seattle. We need a deep water port in Nome. We need a stronger Coast Guard presence in the Bering Sea. And, you know, I appreciate your efforts on the ferries, Dan, but look at Cordova and Kodiak and Cake and Angoon and all the other communities along the coast of Alaska. You didn't help the ferry system one bit last winter.
All right, so we begin our next round. This concludes our round of questions posed to the candidate. And we have another round here in which you can pose questions to each other. It's very similar to the way it ran before. And Al Gross, you will be the first to start off this round. You have 30 seconds to frame a question, and then Dan Sullivan will have 1 minute to respond, and you will have a 1 minute rebuttal, and then Dan Sullivan, a minute rebuttal. So go ahead, 30 seconds to frame your question.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you again about that pebble mine, Dan. Are you going to return the $35 million you received from the pebble mine executives and their subsidiaries? Are you going to return the pebble mine money? Do you expect us to believe you and trust you on these issues? Return the money, and if you're not going to, please tell us why you're not.
So, Al, I am returning the money from Tom Collier, his unethical practices, his lies. I've directed my campaign team to donate his contributions to charity. But I will. I do want to make one thing clear. You know, when you look at where your donations are coming from, it is heavily focused right now on dark money, on super PACs, millions of dollars. All the Alaskans are seeing it flowing into our state. And, you know, I think you should be looking at returning the money of some of the most far left anti-Alaska organizations in the country who would imperil our economic future. So from my perspective, the issues that we need to be focused on is who has a vision for our state that people support. Jobs, resource development, robust fisheries. That's been my record, and that's what we're going to continue to focus on.
All right, 1 minute, Al Gross.
Yeah, you've presided over a failed economy here in Alaska, Dan, and you've been a one-man wrecking ball to the Alaskan economy. Under your senatorship, our PFD is dwindling down to zero. I grew up around the birth of the PFD. It's something very, very important to me. And we're not going to have a dividend if we don't have a robust economy. It's been failing leading up to COVID-19. And now it's really failing because you're being dishonest to Alaskans and Americans and have failed to show leadership when it comes to COVID-19. The reason why I've gotten so much support nationally is because I have a plan to fix healthcare in our country, in my state, and to get jobs back to this state. All my contributions are from individuals, not corporations, and I'm not beholden to corporations, unlike you, when I get to the Senate. And yeah, a lot of people around the country have contributed to my campaign, including people from organizations like the League of Conservation Voters, but I'm not beholden to them in any way, shape, or form. I'm beholden to the state of Alaska.
One final response from Dan Sullivan. 1 minute.
Well, Al, you talk about the PFD, and, with regard to resource development, the people that you would empower have come out against ANWR. They've come out against drilling on federal lands, the NPRA. They have come in favor of national monuments. Let me just give you an example. Right now, the House, and you celebrated the fact that Nancy Pelosi became Speaker, the chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee is circulating a fisheries proposal that would put 30% of the EEZs for fishing off limits, a huge monument around the Pribilof Islands. And so this is what we're looking at, a shutting down of our fisheries because of these radical groups. You've also received recently $9 million from Act Blue in your campaign, one of the most far left organizations in the country. They don't care about fisheries. They care about getting power, and that's dangerous.
You're out of time. All right, so we begin another round. Dan Sullivan, we stay with you. You get to pose a question to your opponent. 30 seconds to frame that question.
So, Al, the CARES Act passed 96-0, and yet you released a TV ad deriding this law as a bailout, even though you're the leader that you've pledged to support, Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders, who you've donated to, all voted for it. Here's my question. Why would you run an ad calling the CARES Act a bailout, and then when you were on Kotzebue Radio, say you never did that? Why would you lie to Alaskans? And given how the CARES Act helped our fishermen, helped small businesses, even though you derided people taking, or even though you derided the CARES Act, would you have voted for the CARES Act or not?
Okay, Al Gross, since Dan Sullivan went over by quite a bit, we'll give you an extra 30 seconds to respond. So you have a minute and a half to respond to this question.
Yeah, well, thank you. And as I said before, Dan, the word bailout does not necessarily mean a bad thing. And I think that a lot of people in Alaska and across this country needed the federal government to step in and provide relief. And I would have been a strong supporter of that. But I would have been a lot more careful going through that bill to make sure there wasn't all the fraud and abuse that occurred as a result of it. And I would have made sure that Alaska commercial fishermen received a lot more than $50 million when the Washington, D.C. Ballet got $25 million. I mean, seriously? Come on. Supposedly you step up for commercial fishermen. I would have gotten a lot more money in that act. And Alaskans and Americans are going to need a lot more help as COVID continues to ravage our country and our state. This is a slow-moving tsunami. This is going to be present for a lot longer than President Trump is alluding to. It's going to be a long time before we have a safe, effective vaccine to control this virus, and the effects on our economy are going to continue well into next year. I don't see you doing anything to stop this virus. In fact, I see you going to a lot of fundraisers without masks indoors. There's lots of pictures of that. You need to provide leadership when you're a senator. You need to be honest with the American people, and you need to stand up and do what's right for Alaska fishermen when they're hurting so badly. And I would have gotten them a whole lot more money than you did. You know,
Your time is up. It's Dan Sullivan's turn for a 1-minute response.
So, Al, I guess that's a yes, right? I mean, I didn't really understand it, but to the point, even though you called it a bailout, you derided it, you would have voted for it. Look, let me just give you a little sense of how it worked. I'm the one who put the $300 million Fisherman's Relief Fund in there. And the targeted bill that we just brought to the Senate floor that had an additional $500 million, which your leader, Chuck Schumer, filibustered, would have helped more. It would very much help more our fishing community. With regard to the ballet, you know, your ad had a lot of fun with that. That was your leader, Nancy Pelosi, and her allies, who you celebrated that you were happy that they retook the Senate, or I'm sorry, the House. That was put in by Nancy Pelosi. So, you know, sometimes you have to deal with these issues, even if you don't like it, particularly during an emergency. The estimates by the University of Alaska was that CARES Act and the PPP may have saved up to 114,000 jobs just in our state. And I think it was important legislation, and I'm proud to have helped craft it, particularly the help we gave to our commercial fishermen.
All right, 1 minute, final response, Al Gross.
You know, Dan, you say you're such a huge advocate for commercial fishermen. You gave up the gavel of the fisheries subcommittee. That to me would be the ultimate prize, and I'd be so proud to represent Alaska commercial fishermen if I held that gavel. I don't know why you gave that up, and I don't see you standing up for Alaska commercial fishermen on the issues that matter the most to them: the high prices of pharmaceuticals, the incredibly high price of health care, and trying to allow them to get back to work in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. I'll be a much stronger advocate for Alaska commercial fishermen than you can ever even imagine. And yeah, I'm going to provide relief funding to people in Alaska as this virus continues to ravage our economy. You can call it a bailout or a relief. You can call it whatever you want, but people need help when they're hurting, and I'll stand up to do that.
All right, thank you. And this concludes our final round of candidate questions to each other. We have a final round of questions that have been crafted for our candidates, and you will have 1 minute to reply, and then each of you will get a 30-second follow-up. So we begin this round with candidate Al Gross. And let me get my question here. This is about seafood tariffs. It has been 2 years since President Trump started a trade war with China, previously Alaska's biggest seafood customer. Last year, Alaskan exports to China were at the lowest level since 2010, and the average tariff paid by the Alaskans on seafood going to China is 38%. By comparison, Norway, Russia, and Canada pay an 8% tax. What will you do to improve trade relations with China to help Alaska's seafood industry? And that is a 1 minute response.
Well, you're right. China imports from America are falling off a cliff. All the while, their consumption of seafood and importation from other countries is climbing exponentially. I wouldn't stand back and be silent in the corner like Dan has been on the Pebble Mine, that's for sure. And I sure wouldn't be silent and in the corner when it comes to the trade war with China. I'd be calling the president. I'd be knocking on the door of the Oval Office virtually every day, standing up for Alaska fishermen in this situation. Dan, you've totally dropped the ball on this. You're not speaking up on this issue. You're hiding. We can't trust you on this issue, and you're certainly not standing up against China.
1 minute.
So I would say that, you know, Rhonda, the way you described that, China has been in a trade war with unfair practices with regard to the United States for decades. And you know, this administration actually standing up and taking on unfair Chinese practices, in my view, is long overdue. Sounds like Al wouldn't want to do that. Sounds like Al would be a dove to China. I've been a China hawk, and I will admit that. And I recognize that some of the retaliation that's happened has impacted sectors across America, including our seafood sector. So what I've worked to do, A, is get trade relief. We had tariffs that were put on exports coming back from China. I got those removed, over $300 million. So I was very active on that. And then historic trade relief that was needed with regard to USDA, with regard to the Section 32 purchases from USDA, over $150 million. So we're working on relief. And then, as I mentioned earlier, opening markets in other areas where we've had a lot of success from our fishing interests.
30-second rebuttal.
Yeah, you call it trade relief, Dan, but what it is increase to the national debt. You call yourself fiscally conservative. It's not fiscally conservative to have all that trade relief money adding to the national to our federal deficit. What we need to do is end the trade war with China so that we can increase our exportation to China, and you're not actively working to do that. I would be putting my fist down every single day. I'd be furious that this is going on because it's going directly to the debt. It's going to be taxes to the people. The people need relief because of this trade war, but the priority is the trade war.
Your time is up. Dan Sullivan, 30 seconds.
So, Al, I've actually had several of our Alaskan fishermen saying this USDA trade relief is one of the most historic things we've had. It's focused on small businesses or small fishermen, and it's $500 million. And I guess you're saying you wouldn't support it. Well, I got it done. I got it done. And in the meantime, we are opening markets all across other parts of the world. Legislation I put forward makes sure that every trade agreement has market opening provisions that focus on our seafood exports. And as I mentioned earlier, we also have made significant strides in closing loopholes for our domestic markets as well, like
all
the
right,
school lunch
you.
Program.
Dan Sullivan, we stay with you for our next question. You'll be the first to respond. This has to do with marine debris programs. What can be done domestically and internationally to solve the problem of marine debris affecting Alaska coastlines? 1 minute.
Well, Rhonda, thank you. And this is where I've been a leader on the Commerce Committee and in the Senate. My legislation, the Save Our Seas Act, was signed into law, very bipartisan. Last Congress, it's about ocean cleanup, ocean debris. My Save Our Seas Act 2.0 has all of those elements you just mentioned. It's domestic, it's innovation, it's international. It puts the United States in the lead on this issue. And this is what I've written. The Congressional Research Service called it the most comprehensive ocean cleanup legislation ever. And we are on the verge of passing this. So we are going to continue to focus on this. But then due to my advocacy with the administration, we've gotten this in other realms. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, which has a whole section on opening markets for fish because of my trade promotion authority language, has a whole section on marine debris. At my insistence. So we're making huge strides on this. It's a problem that you can actually solve environmentally. I've brought stakeholders together, and I'll continue to lead on this important issue for Alaska and America.
All right, thank you. Al Gross, 1 minute.
Yeah, well, you know, I've spent 3 days motoring through 600 miles of garbage in the Pacific Ocean, 1,000 miles off the west coast of Oregon and California about 20 years ago. I know about marine debris, and I know that it's disgusting and needs to come to an end. And right now, garbage is washing up on the shores of northwestern Alaska. Your Save Our Seas Act, Dan, was a feel-good bill that had absolutely no teeth, that funded NOAA to study the garbage problem, but did absolutely nothing to clean it up. Ted Stevens wouldn't have put up with that. He'd get the garbage cleaned up, not just talk about it like lawyers often do.
Right, and you have a 30-second rebuttal, Dan Sullivan.
So, Al, you're just being dishonest again. The Save Our Seas 2.0, which is on the verge of passage, passed the Senate. The House tweaked it, and they sent it back to the Senate. We'll probably pass it in 2 weeks. Is the most comprehensive ocean cleanup legislation ever. It's got an innovation component, a domestic recycling component, an international component. And what I did, I brought all the key stakeholders together, environmental groups, industry, Democrats, Republicans, and the administration to make this happen. We're making history here, and I'm proud of it, and it really benefits our fishing industry, and it benefits our state and our country and the world, to be honest.
Al Gross, 30-second rebuttal.
Yeah, garbage is washing up on the sea, on the west coast of Alaska. Garbage is swirling around in the Pacific Ocean. There's no penalties for countries and ships that dump. There's no active program to clean it up. All you've been doing is funding NOAA to study the garbage problem. When I get to the Senate, I'll get it cleaned up, as I said, because I care about the oceans, I care about commercial fishermen, and I care about the longevity of our fisheries here in Alaska.
All right, and do we have another rebuttal from Dan Sullivan?
Well, look, Al, the other thing I'm going to mention here is whether it's on transboundary mining, which I committed to go to Canada to press the Prime Minister Trudeau and his cabinet to clean up the Tulsa-K'chief mine and other issues in Southeast. They're doing that. That was my leadership. My leadership on the Save Our Seas 1.0 and 2.0 is also something that I'm proud of. And I'll mention one final one. One of my first bills in the Senate was the IUU Fishing Enforcement Act to make sure we have sustainable practice with regard to illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. That's progress on these huge issues. And that's why UFA has endorsed me, because I have a strong record of achievement on these critical issues.
Al Gross, your turn for a final rebuttal on this topic.
Yeah, well, again, you got endorsed by the UFA because it's dominated by outside special interests. That's why you got endorsed. And we don't have a strong Coast Guard presence up in the Bering Sea. And that's why the Russians are stealing our crab and our pollock and selling it in the United States with little or no tax, flooding our markets. And you want to talk about the Tulsa-K'chief mine. I grew up in Juneau. I used to sport fish and I've commercial fished extensively in the mouth of the Taku. And yeah, you went and met with Premier Trudeau along with Byron Mallott. You had a nice time while you were over there. But you know, the paritic tailings of the Tulsa-K'chief mine continue to leach into the headwaters of the Taku. And as long as we keep distancing ourselves from Canada with the trade war for aluminum and steel, we're never going to get a sovereign nation.
Al, you're out of time. And we are quickly running out of time for the entire debate. We have until 6:30, and we want to give you each time to craft your closing statement. And I guess we can't leave this debate without one question on the lighter side here. We want to know, and we'll begin with you, Al, what is your favorite seafood, Alaska seafood, and how do you like it prepared?
Well, I guess I'd have to say black cod, because I haven't had any in a while, because I've been on the campaign trail for a long time, and I used to go out and catch black cod once a year. But I like to marinate it for about 24 hours with miso, and then cook it on the grill. It's delicious.
All right. And you, Dan Sullivan, what's your favorite seafood and how do you like it?
I would say Yukon River King. This is where my family has a fish camp near Rampart, and you barbecue it. It doesn't really need anything. It's one of the most best tasting fish in the world. Maybe a little lemon on it, and that's all you need.
Well, you guys are making me hungry. Well, we have now reached the very end of our debate, in which each of you can give a 2-minute closing statement. And, we will begin with you, Dan Sullivan.
Well, thanks, Rhonda and Al. Thank you. And everybody who's been listening tonight, I appreciate the opportunity to discuss these important issues. I want to thank the Kodiak Chamber again. Look, over the past 6 years, I've had the privilege of working with so many of you, and we've been able to get historic things done. The CARES Act relief, historic trade relief, opening markets throughout the world. Relief for fishermen and coastal communities. As I just mentioned, cleanup legislation and efforts, whether it's transboundary mining, Save Our Seas, IUU fishing, real strong work on ocean acidification research and action. I've been a leader on that. Massive investments with regard to our Coast Guard in coastal communities that will strengthen the ability of Alaska to take advantage of the opportunities with regard to the Arctic. I want to build on this positive agenda. It's an agenda that I'm honored to get the endorsement of UFA, and it's an agenda that I think has enormous benefits for our fishing community. Let me just mention my opponent. Two things that you should be concerned about. He will, and you're seeing it with regard to his donors and who's he's focused on, will empower the radical left in the Senate, in the Congress, that has an anti-Alaska agenda, an agenda that's focused on shutting down fishing opportunities, more monuments, more Endangered Species Act designations. And this is a huge threat to our state. The second is with regard to when we talk about Seattle versus our coastal communities. If he's elected, Chuck Schumer becomes Senate Majority, Maria Cantwell will be chairman of the Commerce Committee. Her large corporate Seattle interests will drive fishing priorities there. I have stuck up for Alaska's interests. I will continue to do so. I'm proud of my record, and I would be honored by your vote.
Thank you. Al Gross, 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, thank you once again to the Kodiak Chamber for hosting this debate, to Dan Sullivan for taking the time to have a real conversation about some important real issues, and to all of you for tuning in from home. I'm headed to Kodiak on Monday and Tuesday, and I hope I'll be able to see many of you in person while I'm there. Elections are about choices, and they're about opportunities for people to decide who they want to represent them. And this election presents a very stark contrast. You have someone who not only understands your issues, but has lived them, versus a do-nothing yes man for his party who is bought and paid for by corporate interests. Dan Sullivan has proven time and again that he just won't put Alaska first and he can't be trusted. Whether it's his vote to strip away health care from tens of thousands of Alaskans and eliminate protections for people with pre-existing conditions, allowing $100 million to be diverted from Alaska's military to build a border wall, or his refusal to stand up to the president about his disastrous trade war with China and Russia. He's failed to take on climate change, he's failed to deliver for the seafood industry, and he's failed to stand up for our state. And look around you. Alaska is not better off than we were 6 years ago. Our fisheries and their markets have crashed. We have the highest healthcare costs in the world. And the federal government has totally failed to get COVID under control. We can't afford Dan Sullivan in the Senate for another 6 years. We've paid too high a price already. And as Alaska's next U.S. Senator, I won't just take your meetings. I'll actually do something to address the struggles that fishermen face on a daily basis. So if you're ready for a change, and if you're ready for an independent representative, someone you can trust who will always put our state over partisan politics, then I'm your guy. I really hope I can count on your vote. I'm a hard worker, and I really want to work for you. And I'm going to hit the ground running when I get there, because you're not going to have to first teach me about halibut and black cod and the five species of salmon, their names and their nicknames, and who catches them where, when, and how.
All right.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Al Gross. Okay, so we are at the end of our U.S. Senate debate, and we want to thank all of those who tuned in on KMXT Radio and online to watch. We hope that you leave this program feeling more informed about fishery issues and motivated to cast your ballot. Now, we have additional programming ahead for you, statements on the U.S. House race. And for those of you, though, who are tuning out now, we'll say our goodbyes and remember, go to the polls.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
So when we continue with the second portion of our programming, if you would let me know, I'll begin.
We can begin now.
All right. Thank you. Wow. That was an amazing 90 minutes, wasn't it? And the people on the Alaska, the Comfish Alaska Committee for the Chamber, they really worked hard to get input from across the state to develop their questions. And of course, the candidates, they were really under the gun to answer a lot of tough questions. But welcome back to the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce's election forum, put on in part with help from KMXT Radio. We want to continue on with a statement from Congressman Don Young about why he wants you to send him back to Washington. And this is a video statement.
Hello, I'm Congressman Don Young, and I want to thank Kodiak Chamber of Commerce for inviting me to have this video. My staff is going to ask me some questions. I'll answer them. Hope they'll be the questions that you have an interest in, because it's important we keep communicating with one another. So my staff now will ask the first question.
Why did you introduce SOS 2.0 in the House, and how will this legislation help Alaska?
Well, for those who don't know, the legislation actually started with Dan Sullivan. I introduced the same bill. He passed it out of the Senate and comes over to the House. We have sent it back to the Senate now because this is probably one of the most important issues that will affect Kodiak or all our coastal community, and it's called trash. We actually dump in, I think, every minute a full dump load of plastics into our ocean. And this is a bill to try to attempt to reduce that amount and make sure that we have maybe recycling aspects and we start cleaning up our ocean. That means that our fish won't be contaminated. Right now we're finding out through science that some of the plastics are deteriorating and the fish are eating them. There's been some speculation it may cause the smallness of size. I don't know. But I know this. Having plastics in the ocean is bad, and that's what this bill does. It corrects the trash problem, it begins the cleaning up, and it will be successful for the state of Alaska and the rest of the nation, too.
What is being done to help the seafood industry?
Seafood industry in Alaska was really hit hard by the pandemic and, by the way, the taxes. We're working on that. We were able to, the senators and ourselves, to see the USDA make relief funding available for Alaskan fishermen through the Seafood Trade Relief Program. That will give us about $250,000 relief to a person or a legal entity, a community, and is meant to help small people. So we're working on this. The trade issue was a big one. The USDA now, though, recognizes the loss of trade, the increased taxes, and the pandemic are all tied together on the health of the fishing industry in Alaska. When the first CARES Act first came out, you weren't eligible. The senators and myself made it a program that the Alaskan fishermen and fishing industry were eligible. But we can't just live off of handouts from the government. We have to get our industry actively involved in not only harvesting, processing, but also delivering to other countries or the best market. We shouldn't be impeded. That's what we're working on, to make sure there's a fairness in this doctrine. And your markets are increased and not decreased by action of the federal government. So we're very much well aware, because your information, what has to be done, and we're going to continue to do it as a delegation.
What has Congress done to help fishermen during the pandemic?
Well, the CARES Act was big. That's what Congress has done. And again, the delegation did a great job. You know, Alaska raised $50 million of the $300 million in the CARES Act. We probably could have got more, should have got more, but we got what I think was a good stroke force, and we're continuing to do that. So Congress is very much aware of our delegation. This delegation is very cognizant of the fishing industry. I'm suggesting respectfully that we have to also address other issues within the fishing industry. Again, why aren't fish running? Why are some smaller? All those things we have to work through NOAA and through our private science to make sure that we have a continued renewable resource for the benefit of Alaskan fishermen and fishing processors.
What do you think about NOAA canceling their surveys in Alaska?
When NOAA canceled their surveys, it really caused me a great deal of anguish. I think it was wrong. They've got the money. We appropriated the money. They're going to have a difficult time getting that appropriations next time because I don't think they've done their job. I even suggested that they didn't want to do the job because of pandemic. Then they ought to contract it out to the fishermen. This is not rocket science. They are the fishermen. They know what they're catching. They can do this through video if they wish to do so this accounting is correct. have the surveys done. If NOAA is afraid of the pandemic, then let the fishermen do it, because this affects the future catching. This affects the management of for the council, for the allocations. So I have told NOAA that I'm not happy. And I'm sure, no, you're not happy. So we're going to look forth and see, maybe, just maybe we'll do it my way. And that's have the fishermen do it themselves if they don't have the courage to do their own. So NOAA right now is not on my good list.
Do you support finfish aquaculture?
No, finfish, farming finfish in our waters is never going to happen as long as I stay in Congress. Just keep that in mind, because it would destroy our wild fish concept. There are those that say we have to produce it. I do not want that to happen to our Alaskan fish. It would decrease the price, and decrease the uniqueness of it. And I am working very hard. I've told them to stay away from it. It actually came from NOAA and the Department of Commerce, because we do import an awful lot of fish product. Okay, that is well and good, but I say you protect what we have, promote what we have, encourage what we have, increase what we have. We'll have a lot of protein, but we'll have a good, clean fish. Now, if they want to raise gooey ducks and oysters and all these other things, I'm all for it. They want to use our estuaries to do that, I'm good. But when it comes to finfish, no, it's not going to happen. I'll continue to work sure it doesn't happen. I've introduced that, and I'll keep the Finfish Free Act. It's my bill. Got a lot of support, a lot of West Coast support. So we're making progress on that issue. I'm hoping that through my work with my appropriating friends, that if NOAA keeps pushing, the Department of Commerce keeps pushing this issue, including Alaska, I say, you want to do it in the Gulf of Mexico, you can. I don't really care. But don't do it in Alaska. Wild Alaskan salmon is the best-selling fish and the best fish for America. So we're going to keep that. That's my position. I hope you understand it, and I do believe we'll be successful.
Please speak to the Alaska ferry system and touch on what you've done to support it throughout your career and what actions can be taken in the future.
You know, the ferry system is a very complex issue. It should be solved, and we can be solved. When you ask what I've done for the ferry system, I'm a little bit disappointed. Because when I was chairman, we put the money in, calling it a federal highway. And we had a lot of money. It goes to the ferry system through the state transportation committee or department. And that's been somewhat successful. I believe where the ferry system has failed, we didn't maintain or upgrade our fleet. We spent money because we had oil money. We didn't recognize that this is a utility, and we haven't really taken care of it. So we got a bunch of old ferries. We got an old system that's being run by the Department of Transportation. They have done a very poor job. And I'm arguing, I've told all over Southeast Denver, where we got to change the management system. I believe it, very frankly, like the railroad. We would have an ability to make it a better running operation. And, some people don't like that idea. They want to stay as they are, but it's not going to be continually financed by the federal government. This is a state system. I got the money to call it a federal highway system, and to maintain that, we have to start operating the ferry system. And that means another education program. The biggest challenge we have in the state legislative body, that they don't really care about the ferry system, very frankly, because they are not served by the ferry system according to themselves. I'm arguing that ferry system maintains, and it should be supported by everybody in Alaska. As things come into Alaska, leave Alaska, the ferry system has to be included. Now, some people say, well, why don't we just use air? Well, that's not a realistic approach. I'm arguing, let's go and remanage it. Let's put some money in it. Let's, in fact, let's think about maybe having a fund set up statewide that supports the ferry system. Although the main supporters are those that do not have highway contact, it does affect the highway system. And I get really disturbed, very frankly, when I see people get in a car and drive from Anchorage to Fairbanks or Fairbanks to Anchorage, and they don't think that's subsidized. It is subsidized, and they don't pay anything. So I'm just suggesting we ought to look at the management system, we ought to finance it correctly, have a concept of delivering services to the communities that don't have highways. And we can do it if we just get off our dust and do it. I want to thank you for having me on this Vision or this film or this Zoom or this TV. I don't know what it is. But I do thank you for inviting me. I hope you appreciated my answers. because we do have a challenge in this great state of ours. I'm willing to serve and take and provide solutions for you. If you have the solutions, bring them to me, and we'll get it done. I do thank the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce.
All right, so that wraps up Don Young, who is a Republican and an incumbent running for Congress. That wraps up his segment. And again, the chamber, when they asked the candidates to submit statements, didn't specify how they would be done. So each candidate, it was up to them to craft their video. And so we go now next to Elise Galvin, who is running as an independent. And here's her message to you.
Hello, Kodiak. I'm Elise Galvin, and I'm running for Congress. I'm sorry I can't be there in your beautiful town. I have such fond memories of attending Confish in the past. As an introduction for those who I haven't met yet, I am a third-generation Alaskan. My family came up serving in World War II. I'm a mom of four and a fierce fighter for Alaska's needs. I'm running for Congress to fight for good jobs so Alaskans can take care of their own. A quality education that leads to those good jobs, and healthcare that we can navigate and afford. I fought for our children's education, bringing Republicans, Democrats, and Independents together to deliver results for Alaska's families. I will do the same for us in Washington, D.C. Now let's talk about one of Alaska's most important resources and how I will be a steadfast federal partner to our fisheries. Alaska seafood is one of our most important and valuable natural resources. With a well-funded and wise management, commercial fishing is a truly renewable resource-based industry. Our commercial, sport, subsistence, and personal use fisheries are fundamental to Alaska's way of life and our economy. Commercial fishing employs nearly 40,000 people and generates over $2 billion in labor income. It's a lot of great jobs. Furthermore, over one-third of Alaskans purchase sport fish licenses. And finally, aquaculture provides a significant growth opportunity for Alaska's economy. In-state commercial fisheries and federal waters in and off of Alaska annually account for more than one-half of the total volume and about one-third of the harvest value of all seafood harvested in the United States. As you know, Alaska's fisheries provide vital sources of healthy seafood and cultural sustenance to our residents and are a critical component of Alaska's tourism industry. Now, the key to sustaining our renewable fish resources are habitat protections and robust science-based management systems. Changes in climate and ocean conditions are bringing many new challenges to Alaska's fishermen, fisheries-dependent communities, and fisheries managers. There is an increased need for targeted federal funding for research and for necessary relief to those affected by fishery failures. I will fight to ensure that federal policies and financial resources provide the support needed to meet these challenges, resources for all in a timely way. We must protect Alaska salmon from transboundary mining, which I will achieve through advocacy with the Department of State, the International Joint Commission, and other members of Alaska's congressional delegation. Unlike my opponent, I strongly oppose the Pebble Mine Project because of its projected negative effects on Bristol Bay's fisheries. Both the congressional and the administrative branches of the federal government have an important duty to maintain healthy fisheries in Alaska. These include such diverse areas as NOAA's management and weather and climate programs, specific fisheries management legislation such as Magnuson-Stevens Act, the U.S. Coast Guard, and its critical role in fisheries safety and enforcement, environmental protection policies, federal trade and marketing policies, construction and management of transportation infrastructure, and federal funding that goes to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I will work hard in all of these areas And in my efforts to educate other federal policymakers and agencies on how vital our fisheries are to Alaska and to the nation, I will fight for funding and actions that support the long-term health of our fishery resources and to ensure that public input from Alaskans, from you, which is more important than ever in this time of rapid change, will be a part of federal decision-making processes. And we must be looking out for and incentivizing the next generation of fishermen. I look to champion new markets, experts, and expand mariculture opportunities for Alaska, which will create more jobs for young Alaskans to stay here and make good careers in fishing. I am ready to be your federal partner, and unlike my opponent, I will be in the majority and in a position to deliver what we need. Don Young used to be in power in Washington, but unfortunately, between being investigated for House ethics violations and being termed out from his committee chairmanships, his influence has dwindled. Don Young used to chair the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and was able to deliver funds for our highways, roads, and our fisheries. But because of his role in a corruption scandal, he was forced to step down. I am ready to serve you and your families and be in a position of power to actually deliver. I would be honored to earn your support and hear about how I can be a strong federal partner to you, to learn more from you. Please give me a call at 231-5556. I want to hear from you, no matter which way you're planning to vote. Your stories, your input, and advice will allow me to serve Alaskans well in Congress. Please reach out. I'd love to talk. Thank you for your time, and God bless you and your families.
All right. And that was Elise Galvin, who is running as an independent, and she is challenging Congressman Don Young. And that wraps up the Kodiak Chamber's 2020 U.S. Senate and House Political Forum. And we also want to thank KMXT Radio for bringing you live radio coverage. And just a few words here about this forum, because normally this forum is live in Kodiak as part of the Comfish Alaska Trade Show. It has a huge crowd in the audience. It's kind of one of the crown jewels in the annual trade show. But of course, as we all know, COVID-19 prevented a traditional gathering, and it moved Comfish Alaska online as well as tonight's political forum. And it, you know, it's quite a tall order to do all of this. And I just want to give high praise to the chamber director, Sarah Phillips, because she was quite nimble in navigating all of this, as well as the Comfish Alaska committee, which worked very hard, and other people who volunteered to make this a success. So we want to thank all of you who stayed with us for both forums and hope that you have learned a lot more about fisheries. I certainly have, although you've seen me busy watching the time and everything, I've kept an ear out. And it's really refreshing to be able to have a debate in which you can drill down into the issues and really learn something. And I think, you know, we learned a lot from the candidates themselves and about the importance that Capitol Hill plays on developing fishery policies, not just for Alaska, but for the whole nation. So again, thank you all for joining us, all of you listeners who maybe you were eating dinner while this was all going on and hopefully having fish. But thanks for joining us. And most important of all, don't forget to go out and vote. I'm Rhonda McBride. Good night.
And that wraps up the live broadcast from Kodiak this evening. It's 10 minutes before 7.